Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. Troy Dooley here, and I tell you what, I am having just the start of a phenomenal week. Now, as you guys know, I hang out at Harbor Docks here in the mornings, and I just love watching the beauty that God's created here on the Emerald Coast. And we've got our own little crew that kind of comes in there in the morning. We chat and talk, and I learn about the history of this wonderful area that I've lived in for the last decade. But today I met a doctor, a physician, and we had just a phenomenal conversation. I don't believe in happen chance. I think, you know, God brought him in, and it was a morning that I happened to be there, and we had just had a wonderful, wonderful talk. His family's moving to an area that I've lived and grown up in, and my wife was at, and so we really hit it off and had a wonderful time. And, you know, isn't that what it's about? It isn't about finding people that are in your own niche or industry. Sometimes it's branching out and learning, and it was fun because this gentleman is definitely probably a generation before me, and listening to him, and we talked everything from health and nutrition to politics, and listening and learning in the small hour of time that I had him invest in me was priceless. You know, I don't know the type of physician that he is, but I know his time is valuable, and he was eating his breakfast, and he took time to invest in my life, a total stranger. And to me, that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's why we do the radio show. It's not so that we can make massive amounts of money or sell our big advertising or any of that, but it's to plant little seeds in other people's lives. You know, we've been doing a review on Howard Schultz's book, Onward, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. And today in chapter 30, it's called Balance. And as I was talking with the doc, I had just finished up reading this chapter. And I thought, what a beautiful life, as he was sharing some of his past and his experiences and his family's experiences. As we shared about different ideologies that we have, I thought, wow, you know, this is a beautiful thing. Howard starts this book by this chapter off by stating that he had gone back to Italy, and he was sitting in a corner shop on Via up there. And it was a little shop. It's actually a very interesting little shop because it's a knife, an Italian knife and cutlery store. And as they sat there, as he walked into this store with his friend, he said, "I can hardly wait to meet the proprietor of this shop." Every time that Howard had gone to Malian, I think is how you say it, he'd visited the shop, but he'd never seen Mr. Lorenzi, the proprietor. And in 2009, he'd asked his Italian friend Angelo if he could introduce him to the proprietor. His friend said, "Listen, he doesn't speak English. I don't think he's probably ever heard of the word Starbucks. I'm not even sure he'll have time to sit down with you." Long story short, what was supposed to be a 20-minute session ended up being all day. And it was interesting because Howard was able to understand a little bit more about the merchant's role in Italy. You know, he had first gone to Italy almost 40 years ago as he studied and looked at, or 20 years ago rather, as he studied and looked at what Starbucks was to become. And now he is in a cutlery shop with a family who had founded the store in 1929. One shop. Not two, not three, not 16,000 like Starbucks, but one shop. And I'm not going to go into the whole conversation. You can get the book and read this. But what happened was Mr. Lorenzi had written a small memoir, a small book, and he gave it to Howard. He goes, "This is the book." And this is what's important. When Howard got back on the plane coming back to Seattle and he opened up the book, it said, "I love our shop." See, too many times in business, too many times in life, I don't think the word love is utilized the way it should be. Here's a man whose family had started a cutlery shop, knives, scissors, everything you can think of that has to do with cutlery. And third generation is saying, I love our shop. Hired sets back and thinks about how he loves Starbucks. Not in the same sense that you and I might love Starbucks or even hate Starbucks if you don't like their coffee, but the fact that Howard had a dream, Howard had something he started. When I go in and consult with CEOs, one of the first things that I state is, this is your baby and you better love it. If you don't love it, we just need to get it sold. I remember when I moved to Destin, and I worked my way up the ranks of a local company. I was sitting in the founder's office one day, and I looked him in the eye and said, you know what, I love what I do, but I can never love it as much as you do because you created it. I can nurture it. I can take care of it. I can grow it as my own, but you're the one who has your fingerprints all over it. I believe that's what makes successful companies grow. I think that's what takes good companies to great companies. I think that's what separates physicians from being just mediocre physicians to those that become great. Now, I'm not talking about become famous. I'm talking about those that passionately love. I always think back of a movie called Doc Hollywood with Michael J. Fox. And when I talk about physicians, when I talk about love, that movie always comes to mind because the more mature physician had learned something that the doctor I was talking to today had learned and shared with me. He realized that not everything that works comes from a lab, comes from something you learn at med school. Not everything that comes from med school really works. And I remember the one scene where Michael J. Fox is using all of his medical know-how and he's rushing this small child off to have his chest cut open and worked on his heart. And the old retiring physician came flying up in the middle of the night in his car. He had a can of Coke with him. He opened the Coke and gave it to the kid. And he said, it's not a heart issue. It's an indigestion issue. That's love. That's having a passion, not just for your profession, your calling in life, but for the people that you serve. And as I've studied this book that Howard put together, it amazes me how at the very essence of Starbucks, the very essence of Howard Schultz, is that love that each of us should have for our profession, for the people we serve, for our families. This elderly Italian merchant, the proprietor of this cutlery store, wrote this. I want to write pages that have their own prophetics about the things that I make or do. But at the same time, I want them to be like the pages of a manual, down-to-earth instructions, exact and useful information about our job. It is a job that has been transformed with the passing of time, but yet remains the same. And it amazes me. Now, like I told you, I don't think there's such thing as happen chance. God does things for a purpose. As I read this the second time today after my new friend had left Harbor Docks, I got to thinking, that's what he was talking about. See, his job has been transformed with the passing of time, but yet it remains the same. I think about the role of a father, the role of a husband, the role of a friend. And even though our job has been transformed with the passing of time, yet it remains the same. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, if you're a salesman, think about this for a second. Although our job may have been transformed with the passing of time, does it not remain the same? Is not the end result supposed to be us serving other people, and in return for that, we get compensated? It's not supposed to be about compensation and then we serve other people. The money never comes first. It's serving the people, then the money will come in. See, that's the key here. Howard writes this, at the very heart of being a merchant is a desire to tell a story by making sensory and emotional connection. See, our goal is to connect with people at the heart level, not the head level. It's to dig deep and to find out what makes them tick so that we can serve better. Starbucks isn't just about coffee, as you've heard me say. I was at Starbucks last night. I took Cassie, my 15-year-old, over to the youth group, and instead of driving across back into town, I decided I'd stay out, and I went to the Starbucks out by Sandestin. I always love that place. It's a old Pizza Hut that's been converted, and you sit back and relax, and the people are friendly and nice. And since I was reading the book Onward, I was sitting there, and I was looking and critiquing every piece. I had a Vente drip Pike's Place roast that I just read about. Smooth, robust, but not too bold. I decided I'd try the new pastries and had a cinnamon crumble cake, and I figured it must have been sitting there probably half the day, and so it was nothing, you know, a little dry, no big deal, but I got it out and I bit into it, and it was so moist. It was like it was just made for me. They were switching out the coffee pots at the moment, washing it out and getting ready to make a fresh brew, and the barista said, "Mr. Dooley, I see that you're one of our card-carrying members, and I want to thank you, and will you please forgive us just for the inconvenience for a second as we make you a fresh pot of coffee. If you'll have a seat, I'll call you when it's ready." Wow. It wasn't about the coffee. It was about making me feel good. Each of us need to do that with our customers, our clients, those that we serve. We've got to dig deep. We've got to look at what is it that we can do for that number one person, not the whole crew. See, I think that's where we lose track of things. We're trying to duplicate our efforts. We're trying to grow our businesses. You know, we hear that it's a sucky economy, but yet we can change it one person at a time. As I sat there this morning, I realized that over my 10 years in Destin, I've probably met hundreds, maybe thousands of people through Harbor Docks. Some I've talked to and chatted with and got to know. Others I see in passing. In the summertime, I see a lot of tourists. But today, whether I get to see the dock again or not, he made an impact in my life. I thought, wow, just a moment of time, he talked to me as if we'd known each other for years. That is about passion. That's about loving people. And that's what we have to do. We have to love people. We cannot be in the sales business, the marketing business. We can't be in any individual profession if we don't love the people. I think of different professions, just not the medical field, but pastors, you know, counselors, even the meter maid, man, whatever it is that comes by and reads my water meter. People say, well, that's such a mundane job. Who would want to do that? And I thought, wow, you know, it's that one individual that's coming through, that's checking those meters, that makes sure that I don't get overcharged. But then I got to thinking the other day, I thought, man, what a fantastic job. You know, you could sit there and study like crazy. Talk about educating yourself, because you don't have all the noise coming in all the time. It's just you walking through the neighborhood. I thought the same thing about the lady that was my mail lady. And I thought, man, it sucks that the post office is losing money. And then I got to thinking back in the old days. I can remember when I was 6, 7 years old in the summer times, that the mailman with his mail bag on his hip would come around in the mornings, would hand me the mail, and I'd run it into Mom. In the afternoon, he'd come back around and he'd hand me more mail, and I'd run it into Mom. He knew my name. I remember our trash man in the old days. Not a prestigious job, but I remember him. He was I'm in my adolescent years, so I'm thinking, you know, he's an old man, but he was an elderly black man. And he would come and pick up the trash in his pickup truck with its wooden sides. And one day I said, "Mr. Trash Man, what's your name?" He said, "Sonny, you can just call me Bud." So Bud came around for years, passed away before I was before we'd ever moved from our Independence address to Blue Springs. But I remembered the fun he used to. He used to just take his time and chat with me. So as today, as I was sitting there talking with the doc, and I was thinking about Howard Schultz and the connection, and I realized this is what it's about. See, we are all merchants of something. And if we will connect at an emotional, human level instead of always looking at the bottom line dollar amount, the sky can be the limit. People are all the time saying healthcare costs have gone through the roof, insurance costs have gone through the roof, and they have. I'm not making light of that. But I believe that if we can get back to that human connection, doctors would get back to that human connection. Insurance companies might too. See, I believe it's gotten so bad, everybody's out there sue happy. The doc and I had a conversation this morning. We were talking about, do we give them a hand up or a hand out? See, I believe that we have become, in some cases, such an entitlement society that it's about who can we sue, who can we get money from, what can we do instead of giving. That's why my heart just jumps when I see people giving to the folks going up and down the Mississippi or who are being devastated with floods, the families in Tennessee and Alabama who were ripped apart with tornadoes. When I see the amount of corporate money, the amount of individual money, the amount of heart, energy, and soul that's going into fixing that, I get excited because I know that America as a whole has not forgotten that. The proprietor of this culinary store also writes this: "We are proud to have a traditional type of store, which has remained true to itself over the years, but it must not be forgotten that this creates the need to keep it fresh. The more that furniture, flooring, and fittings age, the greater the need for meticulous and periodic maintenance. Old is beautiful, but not if it is neglected." I thought about something the doc had first said when we were chatting. I'd made the comment, they say some things get better with age, and he'd snickered. He said, "Now what gets better with age?" And I said, "Well, they say bourbon does." One of the waitresses said, "I heard scotch does." He said, "Well, in my profession, I can tell you things that get aged don't always get better." And I thought, what are you and I doing to make it better? What are you and I doing to our life, our bodies, our soul, those around us? How are we helping? Paige's grandma didn't die until she was 100. 103, I think it was. And I thought, I want to live that way. Not like she did in the last few years where it was pretty rough, but I mean, I want to be helping other people. Do you realize that the stories we can tell our great-grandchildren if we can live that long, the people that we can serve if we live that long? One of these days, Howard Schultz won't be running Starbucks. He won't be alive. And yet, the legacy can go on. One of the things that Starbucks has learned over the last couple of years is a concept called lean. It first came out of the automobile industry, and it was to cut cost, be more efficient. And Howard was concerned, really, because he didn't know how that would work into the people business. But very quickly, Starbucks made it its own. And in their lean program, what they do is they treat their employees like entrepreneurs. So they go into the managers and to the people that work there, the baristas, and they say, if this was your story, your store, and you were creating the story, what would you do different? Since they were already in that transformation stage, what they've done is they found that the store managers and the baristas take so much pride in the fact that this is our store that they've made changes that have cut the actual labor costs, that have increased customer satisfaction. It's exploding in their different stores that they've done. He even did a couple of new things and created a couple of concepts that did not have the Starbucks name on them at all. Now, anytime you're going through a transformation, there's going to be pain. There's going to be questions. There's going to be critics. And sure enough, people even inside the store said, are you embarrassed about the Starbucks name? why would you hide what the Starbucks name is? And he said, no, it's so that we can learn from others. I thought that was pretty doggone cool. Howard writes it this way, I thought our new creative direction in look as well as philosophy was exhilarating and truly separated us in the marketplace. But it could not be implemented haphazardly. Rolling it out globally to thousands of stores would require a disciplined, phased approach. Once again, we had married creative liberty with our cost-limiting and brand considerations. I sat there and I thought for a second about the restaurant that I was setting in this morning. It's made from old wooden timbers. It's pretty rustic. It's been there forever, it seems like. But yet it looks fresh. Computers, fresh coffee, a mixture of the old and the new. I thought of my own life, and I thought, you know, just last week, or a couple, well, actually May 1st, the company that I was the SVP of sales at had made a drastic move that I support 100%. In doing that drastic move, it eliminated the position and the need for me to work with that company. This morning as I sat there, I smiled. I had officially resigned. These guys are so great. They were trying their best to find a place for me in their culture, into their organization without having this division that I was running. And I thought, there's no need for that. That's not me. God created me for a purpose, to go out there and serve other people in a big way. I know what I'm good at, I know what my strengths are, and I know what my weaknesses are, and there's no reason to try to fit into a square hole when you're a round ball. And I thought, man, this is what we're supposed to be doing as people. We're supposed to be finding balance in our life. We're supposed to be balancing our purpose and our mission with what we have to do to make a living. Sometimes our profession will be somewhat different than what our occupation is until we've gotten to a position in life where we can marry the two. I've been blessed to be able, for the most of my adult life, have my occupation and profession being the same thing. I've been able to marry that creative liberty with without cost limitations and brand consideration. I've been able to love my wife, who's also a home-based entrepreneur, as you guys know, a romance writer. I call her best-selling. She has been 4 times. But we've been able to raise our kids and grandkids. We've been able to learn. I think about this a lot, and I think back in the old days when families grew up on farms and they worked together in the merchant stores, and how they loved each other and they grew and they had big families. And then I think of modern times and realize that we have small families and lots of divorce. And I get a big smile as I look at the picture of my lovely bride on my wall, and I think I've spent half of my life on this earth with one woman. More than my mother, more than anybody. I've invested it with my wife, and she still cares enough to stay under the same roof with me. We have to look at every hour of our life. Now, balance in and of itself doesn't work. It's that underlying drive of what we're trying to accomplish, what it is that we want to do, how we can make this happen in a big, big way. The proprietor of this little knife shop, Aldo Lorenzi, writes this, I believe that the shop can still justify its existence if the staff puts their experience and professionalism at the disposal of the customer. This is not just a commonplace catchphrase. It is the communications of one's passion for one's work. A presumptuous person lets slip every opportunity to pass on to his workmates the knowledge he derives from his sales activity and interrupts that precious exchange of information that always takes place through contact with the customer. Each one of us is necessary. Isolating oneself in the shop is negative. People ask me all the time, Troy, how do you make money? Now, when it's a business owner, I explain it in detail, and then I pray that they will see my services are worth it, and they'll sign a contract. Let's be realistic. But see, at the end of the day, money doesn't come first with me. Connecting and serving and passing on the information. Our current newsletter, which we'll go at this week, is filled with the trade secrets that I use to build my business. Some of it has to do with marketing. Some of it has to do with social marketing. Some of it has to do with little things that nobody ever thinks about. And it's because we want to drive that home. And when I think about little Aldo Lorenzi, I think here's a man that loved it so much. He couldn't fathom having 16,000 stores, but he could sure fathom having one and doing his best at it. I think back to the doctor today and what a privilege it was that I met him. I need a doctor. I don't know what kind he is, but I'm wanting to go to him because I like his attitude. But not one time did he tell me what kind of physician that he was. He could have been a veterinarian for all I knew. I just knew that his passion for life and connecting with me as a stranger was what I want to be when I'm retiring and I'm up there and my kids are following in my footsteps. I want to have that type of passion. See, at the end of the day, if we can get that passion, if we can work lean, if we can pass on what is good for others, not hide it. You know, Maxwell says there's no Lone Ranger. I'm taking it further than that. There's no hermits. Okay? You've got to pass on. You've got to love. You've got to share with others. In the network marketing industry, one of the things that it detests me, burns my butt, is that nobody wants to serve or collaborate with others unless there's a monetary exchange. That's the most asinine thing I've ever seen. If you go to affiliate marketing, what we call blogging, network marketing doesn't have a clue. I've got a friend of mine, Jack Humphrey. He's got one book that's been downloaded more than any other book on blogging. He gave it away free. He shared secrets that he had used to grow and shared it freely. Does webinars, shares it freely. He's very successful. Not just in teaching others how to do blogging, he actually has a very, very successful website where he makes a lot of his money. And what he does there is he loves animals, so he gives away information and sells information on animal care and stuff like that. But he serves, he gives away. If you want to make it to the top of your career, if you don't want to be a hermit, if you want people that love you, then you need to get out of this money first attitude and you need to start serving first. I guarantee you, serving first will bring in the income. People all the time, because I don't go out of my way to live a lifestyle. Matter of fact, my mentor Tom Hopp and I had a conversation last week during our mentoring session. And he made a comment, and I said, man, I just like that word, Tommy. And he said, what word? I said, lifestyle. I said, I hear network marketers all the time talk about, it's a lifestyle change. I said, and I watch how many people's lifestyle has changed since 2007 in this America, and it sucked. Because the lifestyle change hasn't been positive. We sat there for a minute. And together, both of us committed to each other that we would never use the word life change or lifestyle again. But instead, we would talk about a life transformation. See, if you want to transform your business, if you want to transform your life, you've got to be like my new doctor friend that I met this morning. You've got to be willing to share some of your past, some of your history, some of your wisdom, not just knowledge, with others, not ever expecting anything in return and never knowing if you'll ever see them again. Because when you do, it will come back to you 100-fold, I guarantee it. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here with us tomorrow morning on Radio for Your Mind as we go into chapter 31. It's going to be a great chapter. Bye now.